There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday, and the thunderstorms continue doing their thing for Mobile and Baldwin counties. We'll get more from Dr. Bill Williams, our staff meteorologist, coming up in just a little bit. Also, in just a minute here, checking in with my buddy, and he is El Presidente of this year's Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, Corey Quint. We're going to talk with him. First, though, I asked the question last hour. I was speaking at the rodeo. I said, hey, even with because they're canceling the Hot Air Balloon Festival. And I said, couldn't you do like the rodeo that has had to edit the show portion of what they do, but we're still fishing, right? We're still fishing. We're getting out there for the Roy Martin this weekend for the kids, and then next week for the big rodeo. Couldn't you still go hot air balloon? And how many people does it take to fly a hot air balloon? And then I see our buddy CB Carl hops on, and CB, can you answer this for me? How many people does it take? It sounds like a setup of a joke. How many people does it take to fly a hot air balloon?
Well, it only takes one to fly, but to get it where it will fly, depending on how big the crew members are, it takes a few people.
Okay,
so... you got to have somebody... You know, you blow that thing up with a fan, and then you crank up the heat to get it, you know, to get it where it's, you know, lighter than air. Well, in the meantime, there's got to be people holding it down while they're getting it ready to go. And then you got somebody that job I usually end up with, the crown job, the guy that holds the rope at the end, so when it finally gets blown up, you get snatched all the way up to the gondola with everybody else. But you got to have we're crewing on one of the smaller balloons, and it takes three guys.
Okay,
really hard. You got to have your elbows, you got to hold it down, man, and you'll be breathing in each other's face.
Yeah, but you could be doing that if you're going to get a bag of Tostitos, man, and somebody reaches out. You know, if they have a mask on, they could be getting in your face when you're reaching for delicious chips.
I know, right? We got the text last night from our pilot, and I was very disappointed because we're hoping to get Laura up in one. I got to go up 1,500 feet in one a couple of years ago.
You like it?
It's quite a view.
I can imagine. So it's yes, one to fly, but a more people and a crew to get it up and going.
Exactly. Yeah, it takes a good, you know, three people and on the, you know, two or three people on the basket, depending on how strong they are, to hold it down. And you got to think heavy. That's what our pilot tells us. Think heavy.
And heavy, then heavy thoughts.
And then you got another guy that holds the end out there so they can, you know, keep it stretched out while they blow it up. And that's, like I said, that's a pain in the butt job. That's usually my job. I get snatched around. But
well, you have educated me as always, CB Carl, on many things. Now it's on hot air balloons. Thank you.
All right, brother. Y'all have a good one, man. Enjoy
it. It will do. It will do. So yes, that's a no for hot air balloons. But you know what it is? It's a yes for fishing this weekend. And let's bring on the president of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. You've heard from him on here before, and he comes back and he still talks to me. My friend Corey Quint. Hey, man.
Hey, buddy. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Just still recovering from that birthday, but it's a good deal. And I thank you. So let's talk about this. First of all, I'm looking at the text line. People are already asking, is the Roy Martin on for this weekend? Answer that question is?
Man, the Roy Martin is on full steam ahead. You know, the Roy Martin is going to look a lot like normal, you know, because normally we don't have all of our vendors and all that kind of stuff set up there anyway. The first thing I want to mention is tickets. So tickets are available at any of our outlets, which is Academy Foley, Academy Westmobile, Academy Festival Center, Tackle This, Shoot That, Greer's at Fowl River, and also Quince. So you can get your tickets there before the event. But one thing that's unique about the Roy Martin is we allow you to buy tickets at the event. So you go out, have a good day, you know, you want to fish, you want your kid to participate, you pull up at our dock, you can run up and spend $5 on the ticket, get your ticket, then they can weigh their fish. This is a lot less formal. This is all about the kids weighing in their fish, making memories with their families. And I tell you, Sean, you know, this is one of my favorite events that we do because, I mean, the pure joy that you see in these kids' faces as they're weighing in a fish is just priceless. You know, it doesn't have to be the biggest fish. They're just happy that they caught one, and it is absolutely great.
Yeah, and it's a big, you know, my children are a big fan of the event. I think they're like so many children along the Gulf Coast and maybe big kids like me as well to see those smiles. So, yeah, you get there, and so that hasn't, you said that we're not going to see a real big change for Roy Martin for what we're used to.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we're fishing all day. You know, the only change that will probably be noticeable to the public is that, you know, due to everything going on, we are not giving out the hot dog, a Coke, and ice cream. And that's simply just to, you know, not try to spread anything in case there is something, you know, or receive it or whatever. So that's, you know, that's going to be the only change foreseeable from the public standpoint. You know, we're still going to be doing the awards 6 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. And, man, we hope to see everybody there.
Yes, absolutely. And as you pointed out, you can get the tickets after you've caught the fish, but if you know you're going to be fishing, might as well get those tickets right now.
Right, absolutely.
And I want to circle back around to why that's so important here, y'all, in just a second, like I was talking about earlier this morning. All right, second part of this is the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo with the big rodeo starting up a week from Friday. So now what changes do we see there?
Man, so this year, you know, Sean, you and I have talked about this a bunch of times, but usually it's an 11-and-a-half-month planning process, you know, going into this event. Every year we try to figure out how to make it bigger and better.
We have a little trouble hearing you, too.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you go. A little more volume.
Yep. So every year, you know, we try to make this event bigger and better. And, you know, around April, May, our mindset had to shift from how do we make this bigger and better to how do we make sure this goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we got a great partner in the town of Dauphin Island. We talked to them, reached out to them. They met with us quickly, you know, and we had to make changes. And those changes are basically they didn't want us to give anybody a reason to congregate. So with that, you know, we had to cancel the Liars Contest. We're not going to have our sponsor tent. We're not going to have our fish display. And we're not going to have music acts this year. You know, there's some stories out there that are portraying that the rodeo site is closed and all we're doing is fishing and selling T-shirts. That's not the case. You know, you want to come see somebody weigh in. You just want to come look at the fish being weighed in. You want to look at the boats. You want to watch a sunset. You want to come hang out with us. You're more than welcome to do that. All we ask, please keep, you know, follow the CDC guidelines that are in place. You know, but other than that, we're kind of going back to our roots. We're mainly just a fishing tournament and selling T-shirts this year.
All right. Speaking of which, if somebody wants to buy that T-shirt, because, I mean, we got to have the T-shirt. People got to have, they got the whole collection. If they're not sure they're going to, I'd love to get them to come there, but they're maybe not sure they're going to have a fish to weigh or something like that. Can they do that online?
Man, for the first time ever in 87 years, we are actually going to be doing online T-shirts for the first time. T-shirts, those should open up on Saturday, the 11th, just like they will on site. So they'll be available on site and online on the 11th. One thing I do want to mention is that these are going to ship out around August 10th, because what we have to do is, you know, we sell our T-shirts on site, then we gotta get some more in to fulfill these orders. So that's if you want it instantly,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, come to the site to get it like normal. If you don't mind, you know, or you're out of state or whatever it may be, you can order them online, and at the latest they'll be shipping is August 10th.
Okay, so you can, if you need them right now, come to the site. If you can wait, if y'all can have a little bit of patience, you can wait and get them August.
Man, I couldn't be patient, man. I mean, that's just me personally, because the print this year is just, it's so awesome.
Pretty, you know, pretty fantastic work.
I could be biased, but...
Yes, as the president, you could be, but to watch how that was put together, and this is probably people need to go and check that out through y'all's Facebook page, I guess. You see how that print was come together. It was fantastic watching that artwork.
Yeah, man, I worked with Brandon Van Noren with Bonnie Fly and Van Noren Illustrations, and, you know, I kind of gave him a vision. I said, look, Brandon, I want to be looking out of Mobile Bay. You know, I want the fort that's iconic to me. You know, I want the lighthouse that's iconic to me. My two favorite fish are, you know, cobia and blackfish. You know, I want those. You know, I want this for my daughter. I want this for my wife. I want this for my mom. I want this for my dad. And he's like, all right, I got it. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he's like, hey, what do you think about this? And I'm just like, my jaw dropped, you know, and I'm like, dude, this is incredible. You know,
it's a beautiful design for sure, and people can of course get that and not have to wait for it when they show up and buy it. Let's talk about the other part of this too, with the rodeo, the change. When obviously the big change here on the fishing side, we've talked about it already, but red snapper out as a category and as a jackpot. What are you replacing red snapper with?
Okay, so we are replacing the category red snapper with lane snapper. There's going to be no jackpot and no cash prizes for red snapper. If you're a registered angler, we're going to be sending out periodic emails reminding you of that and of any other updates, because our book does say red snapper. It does say red snapper jackpot, red snapper cash prizes. But we couldn't fix that in time. Our books were already printed whenever.
Gotcha.
Whenever Scott gave me the news. The other change this year is speckled trout. You know, speckled trout has always, you know, been a popular fish in our tournament. And, you know, with that, Alabama Marine Resources came up with some size and new krill limits last year. And this is the first time we're having to deal with that. So just to note, you know, it's going to be slot fish, which is defined as 15 to 22 inches with a pinch tail. And it's going to be, the slot fish are going to cover your open competition, so your first through third, and also it's going to cover your jackpot. Once you move into cash prize divisions, there is two divisions. One of them is a creel, and one of them is what we're calling a big fish lunker. Your big fish lunker, your fish has to be 26 inches plus, and then on your creel, it is a five fish creel over the weekend. It can consist of four slot fish and one 26 inch plus lunker, or five slot fish. What we're doing with all this, Sean, is, you know, I like to fish. You fish with my dad multiple times. You know, we're really looking for the sustainability of you know, this environment, and, you know, the conservation aspect of it. We're trying to stop the killing of, like, the fours and fives, you know
the big speckled trout. Yeah.
Well, it's the medium-sized speckled trout, or large, on the larger scale, you know, but these people, you know, they kill them, and, you know, it doesn't really necessarily, it might not do anything in the tournament. So
right.
We're trying to keep those breeding fish in the environment.
All right, and that, I think that's a good thing. It's a positive thing. You're doing, and always, you know, conservation-minded, what you do with the JCs. I do want to, for a second here, we'll circle back around, and we'll talk about the grand prize here, and, you know, boats get bigger and bigger. But I want to remind folks of something here. I'll let you do it. That when people say, well, the rodeo's not, you know, going to not be normal this year or whatever, y'all... This is a volunteer effort on the part of the JCs, and the money that y'all raise, people forget this because it's such a part of our lives, the rodeo. The rodeo is a charitable endeavor. You JCs do this, give of your time to do what? What do you do with the money you raise?
Yeah, so we're all volunteers, like you mentioned. We're all between the ages of 21 and 40. You know, we all have full-time jobs, and in our spare time, we all come together and put on the world's largest annual fishing tournament. You know, some of the charities that we do, for instance, this weekend, the Roy Martin, all the proceeds that we make from the Roy Martin tournament, we spend at Christmas for our children's shopping tour. What that is we take underprivileged kids to target at the mall, and they open up early for us. We give them a budget. We all get to interact with them. We'll take two or three kids apiece. They buy gifts. They buy Christmas gifts for their family members. We wrap them. We send them home with them, and it's a really good event. You know, some of the other things that we do, we donate to South Alabama Marine Resources. I think last year we donated $25,000 to them. I think cumulatively we're up to about $500,000.
Wow.
To them. You know, we donate to St. Jude. We donate to the USA Bridge Program. We do all kind of stuff throughout the year.
Excellent. That's what I want people to know, because I don't think enough people, yes, so many people come down and enjoy the rodeo, but they don't know that backstory. And yes, let's tell them what happens here if they can get a fish weighed in the big rodeo. What's grand prize, overall drawing?
And so the random drawing is, if you weigh in any fish that's legal in our tournament, we'll pick a random angler, and this year it's a 25-foot Contender Bay powered by a 250 Yamaha Show sitting on a Fort Trail trailer. It's a pretty good package.
Man, I'd say so. All right. Once again, people want more information on tickets and info on this weekend and next weekend. Where's the best place to go?
Man, follow us on Facebook. Just look up Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, and you can also, that's where you're going to get like the updates daily and periodically. But if you're just looking for general information, go to adsfr.com.
All right, Corey, as always, I appreciate your time, and we'll see you on the island. Hopefully my kids will be weighing in some big fish this weekend.
All right, buddy, I'll see you this weekend.
All right, Corey Quint, president of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. Stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 127 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Get Dr. Bill's weather update here in just a second, plus news headlines. Special guest joining us after the break. I'll talk about that in just 1 minute here, although I got a second. I want to update the story here, and a lot of people ask me, what's my take on it now? And when the story popped up last night, we talked about it some this morning, I said, let me just sit back here, because we didn't have a lot of information out. And now there's not tons, but there's more about the five guys in Daphne and the employees' refusal to serve police. Now, a story from our news partners at WKRG says, restaurant employees refused to serve Daphne police, according to a credible source. News 5 was told the officers went to Five Guys to eat after court. A group of employees turned their backs on the officers. One of the employees could be heard overheard saying, "I'm not serving them," end quote. The source said the officers walked out and went to another restaurant. Now, this is what's been newly added this mid-morning. Before we started, Daphne Mayor Dane Haygood released a following in response to the story. So Mayor Haygood said, "My office is aware of the story reported on WKRG. We have been put the Daphne Police Department in touch with the ownership of the establishment in order to understand what occurred and circumstances surrounding the event. We love our PD in the city of Daphne, the Jubilee City." That's written like a mayor. "And certainly hope that our officers were not refused service. I'm offering to buy these five officers their next meal. Who else wants to follow suit and show support and appreciation for our men and women in blue?" All right, so that is coming from the mayor's office. Still, the details here are few, because people are saying, "Well, what do I think?" I'm trying to figure this out. You think we would have, and Dalton, if I've missed it, we would have some kind of reaction from the, if it was not true, and I'm the owner of that franchise, I am on every platform possible saying, "No, that did not happen. This is not true." So I have not heard that yet. And there may be other reasons for it, but I have not heard that yet. But, you know, the fact that the mayor, who should have some knowledge of the veracity of this, made that comment, there's a little more traction with this. All right, so that's what I've gotten. That's the latest on it. And if we get more information, we'll pass it on. I just said this morning, it just seemed like there was just, it was a little bit of information from a Facebook page, and I wanted to have some more, and we're starting to get it trickling in. All right, come back after the break. This is going to be it's a conversation that you might have heard some of this if you were out at Bellengrath today, but we're going to bring it to you right now because you have a chance to meet this man again this evening out at Bellengrath. Dr. Lawrence Krumenacker is going to join us. His book, 9 Days Traveling, Lafayette's 1825 Alabama Tour, Today's Historical Road Trip. So we're going to talk about the stars, and we're going to talk about history. So you know this thing is a lock for me being interested. We'll make that available to you coming up in just about 5 minutes. Stay right there. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. Text lines open at 343-0106, 343-0106. I mentioned we talk about the stars and history with one guest, and it's not everybody who is a Swiss Army knife of subjects like that, so it's a real treat to have Dr. Larry, and I've now learned to say it properly, Krumenacker.
Krumenacker.
See, I thought I had it for a second there and then I didn't. Krumenacker joining us to talk about a couple things here. First of all, you're in town down in this neck of the woods. You had an event today, and I'll get you closer to that mic too, at Bellengrath, right? And then you're going to be back out there.
Yes, tonight.
All right. And so today you talked about what?
I talked about the Marquis de Lafayette who came through Mobile and Alabama just about 200 years ago.
Okay.
And why did he do it? Where did he go? And if he did it today, where would he do it? What would he see? What would be different? What would be the same? And how would you follow along?
You know, there'd be a lot of, probably not a lot, but there were people that made that journey, but they didn't write it down to be able to look back at, did they? Lafayette was different in that.
Yeah, the difference between Lafayette's journey and people watching, you know, writing about it then,
right,
versus people doing it then, say in New York or Philadelphia, is that up there they had an established newspapers and journalists and people who were diarists and so on. There were lots of people writing about it up there. Down here, there were four firsthand accounts.
Four.
That's one finger less than a full hand.
We're going to get into that. We're going to circle right back to that. And then tonight, we're looking up.
We're going to go totally different. We're going to be talking about the sky. And I don't know if we're going to have clear enough skies to actually look at the real things, but I'm going to be talking about easier ways to find the planets and also about a comet that we have out there right now that just came up out of nowhere.
Well, you so as a doctor, professor, these are two pretty different pursuits here, history and being an astronomer.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
First, the yes part is...
Let me get you closer to that mic, too. There you go.
I'll bring that mic.
There you go.
Here
bring
we
it
go.
To you.
And it doesn't want to.
There you go.
There we go.
You bring it the home
I'll bring
you.
It to
there
me.
You go.
I'll go to it if the mountain won't come to Mecca. One thing, when you study astronomy, you get a lot of history. People don't realize that astronomy goes back a long way.
Just because you've got to do the Copernicus and the Galileo.
You have to learn where it comes from. So you get history automatically.
Okay,
and
fair
enough. And if you've done any astronomy, you realize as soon as you look up in the sky, you're looking into the past because everything you see out there...
How old's that light? Yeah.
You know, so that's automatic. But where I grew up, I grew up north and that was Revolutionary War territory.
Right.
History was everywhere. So
sure.
I just got imbibed with it.
Right.
Steeped in it. So I was learning about history all at the same time. History became a hobby.
Gotcha.
And so history was just there, and I just kept up with it.
Well, and so we'll circle back now to the history, and then we'll come back to the astronomy. So the history of this, so you're following, I'm looking at your picture here, 9 days traveling. This is a, I see interstate and cities named on here and everything. This wasn't exactly what Lafayette was looking at. I hate to ruin it for you here, but you got a road here, you know, a paved road the whole way coming in and coming down into Baldwin County. It's a little different than the journey.
Yeah, well, much different than what he did. Okay, this is what if he did it came now 200 years later.
Right.
All right. back then, he did follow, in a way, the first interstate. Because when he crossed over from Georgia, across the Chattahoochee River, he was following, especially here, the old Federal Road, which was, in effect, if not the first government-paid-for interstate.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the first. It was a road that was created in 1806 to get mail from the East Coast, from Washington, D.C., ultimately, down to New Orleans, which we had only purchased a few years earlier from the French with the Louisiana Purchase. So if the normal route would have been taking mail across the Appalachian Mountains, through various other trails, through Nashville, Tennessee, down on the Natchez Trace, onto a boat on the Mississippi River, all the way down to New Orleans, and then all in reverse to get the answer back. And you're mm-hmm. talking about weeks of travel.
So
now we have a faster route.
Yeah, it's better to come this way.
It was better to come this way. You saved a few weeks of time. And sometimes it still works that way, you know.
Right.
But so the Federal Road is what he came down on when he crossed over here most of the way to Montgomery. And then when he got to Montgomery and they had the festivals there and he spent 2 days there, comes down on New Tech.
Yeah.
Steamboat.
Steamboat into Mobile. So and Lafayette at that point, why is he here? Is he a tourist? Tell folks about him. Why, you know, what's his reason for even being down in this neck of the woods 200 years ago?
Okay, we'll back up a second first, because you know, everybody should know Lafayette was a Revolutionary War hero from France.
Yep.
Came here, led troops, was Washington's protege, if you will, but effectively an adopted son. Helped bring the French in on our side, negotiated parts of the treaty, helped negotiate with the French troops on who did what and so on. When he went back to France, he tried to accomplish the same thing there. He reduced the French monarchy down to a constitutional monarchy.
Well, they cut that thing in half.
Didn't work. Didn't quite work over there. Anyway, so in 1823, after all of that had happened, he's essentially retired. He's a widower. And he gets an invitation from our government to come over here, all expenses paid, to tour the United States on its 50th anniversary of the Revolutionary War. And he couldn't pass this up because it was the scene of his greatest triumphs.
Sure.
So he comes here. He had to actually sneak out of France to do this because, once again, they didn't want him to go. This is, you know, can't do that. But he got out. Comes over here, and he's meanwhile touring mostly the New England states, Middle Atlantic, Northern Virginia, and so on. And he's got a full year to do all this, all expenses paid.
So the taxpayers of this fledgling republic are saying, thank you for what you did. Here's your big tour.
That's right. And okay. It helped. The government actually liked this idea because it helped bind the country together after 50 years, the War of 1812, and so on. And we have a whole bunch of new states that are feeling a little bit out of it because all the elder sisters, as they called them, the 13 original mm-hmm. states, they don't feel quite yet bound in on all this. Now, in December of 1824, after some of this touring, he's wintering over around Washington, D.C., Alabama's governor steps forward on this. Israel Pickens sends him a letter saying, why didn't you come and visit us? We're on the other side of the Appalachians. We're a new state. We're only 6 years old. Come and visit us. And this is an idea that hadn't yet occurred to Lafayette. I've never seen anything on the other side of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I go visit all those other states?
Which used to be the Southwest, right?
The old Southwest.
Yes. People talk about going to the Southwest. All right, when we come back for the break, we'll pick this up. And remind folks, too, the title of your book again?
9 Days Traveling.
Okay, and it's available where if somebody says, I got to get this?
In Mobile, it's available at 5 different places. It's available at Bellingrath.
Okay.
It's available at the Renaissance Hotel gift shop.
Okay.
It's available over in Fairhope at Page and Pallet. In downtown, it's at the Haunted Bookshop. It's also available at the Mobile Bookseller on Government.
There you go. That's 5, right?
I'm sorry?
That's 5.
That's 5.
That's 5.
Yeah. We'll go on from there.
All right. We'll come back. If we think of any more while we're at the break, we'll bring those back when we get back from the news. Y'all stay right there.
This
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Online at FMTalk1065.com. Top news stories of the day, online opinion poll, questions, schedules, podcast, all one place. Grab it at FMTalk1065.com. And I'm looking at the book here. I'm going to talk more about 9 days traveling. A guest in the studio, Dr. Lawrence Krumenacker. Did I get it that time? Krumenacker?
Close enough.
Close enough for it. And that's crumbs and crackers, right?
Right.
Krumenacker.
Bingo.
There we go. About the book 9 Days Travel. We're talking during the break here, too. This is a guidebook where you're taking us through, in modern times, this route that when here comes Lafayette, and Lafayette's going to come down by invitation to the state of Alabama, how he gets here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what that looks, tells us what it was and what it looks like now. And you just said during the break, you said, Sean, a lot of it looks the same.
Yeah.
What?
Especially on the eastern part, when he crosses over the Chattahoochee River.
Right.
I mean, the landing point hasn't changed a bit. It's still the same point on the Chattahoochee River. You just slide in with a canoe today. You could do it.
Right.
And then you literally walk for the first, I don't know, few hundred feet on the old federal road. It's still there.
So these things that are 200 years ago are still there to physically put your hand on that.
Or your feet, or both.
But and then you followed this trip, of course, from Montgomery, coming by that new technology of the steamship coming down to our neck of the woods.
Right, except, of course, we don't have one to worry about. There is no traffic on the Alabama River.
That's right.
So I take us by car from place to place to get you to the different towns that he stopped at, try and find what's left there. Of course, going down the river, he stops at Selma, Cahaba, Claiborne before he gets to Mobile. There's almost nothing left of any of these places. Selma, there's just a little in the soapstone bluffs that says that's where the steamboat landing was, right there, that little blank space. That's where it was. That was it. He said hello, down the road. There he goes.
Cahaba was a lot. I mean, it's nothing now but history, but it was a bigger deal. I mean, it was
a big deal. When he got there, it was the last year of its being the state capital.
Okay, it was in its past golden age.
It was the last year of its golden age.
Okay.
And so he went there. Now it, you know, some people call it a ghost town. It's really more of a skeleton town. There's mm-hmm. no buildings, but you can still see the streets.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. So he keeps on. He gets down here, and you said you have found places here that were described in his travels that people hadn't been able to find. You now put your finger on places like where in our area, where in Mobile.
He comes in, and now you have to remember, in 1824, Mobile's a tiny little place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bunch of buildings and a few streets on a bluff overlooking, you know, the Mobile Bay, basically.
Where the banks of the river, yeah.
Right? So it's like about, you know, 6 blocks wide and maybe 10 blocks long, and that's it. So there's not much to the town. The bluffs at Royal Street are the end of it, and he has to get up there, and there's only two major wharfs that a steamship can land on. Mm-hmm. And the only one really left and functional is the one on Government Street.
The end of that wharf
is over by the parking lot, the free parking lot by the Mobile Convention Center.
Okay.
So if you want to start where he starts, you have to stand at that free entranceway and look up to see the incline going up to Royal Street. There was no landfill there.
Right.
That was all water and muck and such, and he had to go up there. Now, the story is the city wanted to give him 3 days of festivities.
Yeah, we like our parties down here.
They do, and they wanted to do it. This was the big end of the trip for him, it was supposed to be. And he was exhausted, and he was already 4 days behind his schedule. And he said no.
No party.
Nothing. He didn't want to do anything. And they finally negotiated, we'll do an afternoon of stuff, because he was exhausted.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a tough life having to be on a festival every day and give speeches, hear speeches. You know.
Right.
I'm sure you know how it is. So he goes up there, and there's a big arch that he has to walk under, and they welcome him. And he comes up, and the city folk are meeting him on what's Government Street and also where Mardi Gras Park is.
Okay.
Now, the fort had been mostly taken down by that point.
To my Condi.
Yes. Yes. But also the area where Mardi Gras Park is was starting to fill in with new buildings. Hadn't been completed in that fill-in yet. So that's where the only place was that was big. that they could fill it in and they could meet him. He then, it says, he's taken into an ornate building that had been constructed for him for special political people to meet him and all that. What was left in that area could do it. It was called the old Spanish House, Government House. And there's people saying...
Spanish Government House.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where was this? And there's three candidates for that. One says it's right there at Royal and Government. And there were government buildings there, the Customs House, because when you came off the wharf, you had to come in there and register your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that there at Spanish, it had one there, but that wasn't exactly the kind of ornate building you want to bring in from somebody special, right? Then there was a place that people mentioned down at Concepcion and Conti. And correct me if I say them wrong.
No, that's right. Okay? That's correct.
But that's way on the far side of town, and it's a little tiny government thing, you know? Like, okay. Nothing big there. Why would you do that to your most special person? Makes no sense. Why would you take them all the way to the far end of town and then bring them back? That's stupid. Well, there's nothing there. So, you know, it makes no sense. The third place I found on a map that used to connect to the fort at one point with a special alleyway. And that connects up at Government and St. Emmanuel.
Okay.
The old Spanish government house, which lasted till 1835. Well, it was no longer a government house, but it was still there and it was kind of ornate. It was the Comandante's house.
Okay. And that's where they...
And that's where they probably took him into because there was no place else.
Wow. So this is... read more about this in the book. We just have a minute and a half left here, so I want to ask you about tonight's presentation at Bellingrath. What time?
7:30.
Okay. And you're going to teach us what?
We're going to talk... First of all, we're going to have everybody who's there. We're going to make a model solar system and have everybody move the way the planets do, set it up for the way it'll be tonight, so you can see how to find the planets the easy way when they line up a certain way. And that way, when you look for those lineups, it'd be so much easier finding a planet than just saying, well, it's over there in the western sky.
Right.
Well, what does that mean? Well, this will be a lot easier this way. Also going to talk about Comet Neowise, which came out of nowhere, and you can find in the sky its naked eye brightness, though with the haze and such. And
sure, but if we had a clear night, you could see it?
Yeah, clear night starting next week. Right now, it's kind of in the morning dawn,
okay.
But it's transitioning over into the western twilight over the
How next. Close is this going to get to us?
Oh, it's going to get to us when I'm around 30, 60 miles, a million miles away. It's not going to be anywhere near dangerous, but it's bright.
So we should be able to see it non-telescope.
Non-telescope, but being that it's low, binoculars will help you find it first, and then you can glimpse it.
All right. So come out tonight, get that education. And once again, the name of the book?
9 Days Traveling.
And you said if somebody wanted to check it out, you also got a podcast out there, people that want to talk astronomy, even for people like me, they're just, you know, regular civilians.
Yes, the podcast is called The Galactic Times.
All right, good stuff. Thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us. And we'll hopefully get you back on here soon.
My pleasure.
All right. We are on the way out of here. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Reminder, of course, you can check us out online. Also, the Facebook page where we're updating stories 24/7. Check them out. Facebook.com/FM Talk 1065. All right. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Talk to y'all in the morning.